hymn that we sang there at our offering, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, was penned by a man by the name of Robert Robertson. During his life, he backslid after he had penned this hymn. He went far away from the Lord and he went into the world. And as a result of his backsliding, he became deeply troubled in spirit. He couldn't find contentment. He couldn't find peace. And he decided that he would take to traveling. He would leave his home, he would leave his town, and he would begin traveling, seeking to find peace in other places. During one of his journeys, he became acquainted with a young woman who happened to be in the same train carriage as him. And she was sitting in the train carriage, and she was reading some hymns. And to his amazement, she read aloud the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. When she came to the line, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, the tears started to flow down his face. He stopped the young lady and he said, My dear, I am the one who wrote that hymn. And I would give anything to experience the joy that I once knew. The young lady simply pointed to the line, streams of mercy never ceasing. Gave his life afresh to the Lord. You know, as we continue through the cries of the cross, we see and we have seen much of the love and the mercy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, even there upon the cross. He had begun his cries with the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in the midst of all of that scorn and ridicule and the dying thief, when he cried out to be remembered, the Lord had answered, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. With everything happening at the cross and everything that was happening around it, there are many people in that area. There were many mockers. There were many haters. There were many wicked men gathered outside of that city. But there was one little group who were not part of the baying mob. There was one little group who was not filled with joy that day because of seeing Christ hanging upon a cross. There was one little group who was there and they were broken. They mourned. I believe there would have been tears flowing down their faces. They have observed as Christ has been nailed to the cross. They've observed as they took the Lord's garments and they're split into four. They've observed as his coat without seam is taken and lots are cast over it. That little group consisted of Christ's earthly mother, Mary, of his earthly aunt, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, of Mary Magdalene, and of John, his disciple. I want to focus in upon the backslider in that group, John. I want you to see the grace and the mercy that there is for the backslider. This morning I want you to see the grace and the mercy that there is for the backslider who seeks to return to Christ, who comes afresh to the cross. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to the cry of the backslider. I want you to see, firstly, the rejection of the backslider. The rejection of the backslider. John had abandoned his Lord. John had left the Lord's side. He had fled from Christ. Mark 14 in the verse 50, it tells us whenever Judas came with that crowd to the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14 and 50, it says, they all forsook him. They all fled. There in that garden with all of the pressure and all of the men and the gathering that came upon the Lord, whenever the crowd saw, whenever the disciples had woken out of their sleep and they saw this mob, they turned heels and they ran. Every disciple had abandoned Christ. In that moment when the Lord was betrayed by one disciple, all 11 others forsook him and fled from his side. Just as Christ had predicted. Matthew 26:31, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Each and every disciple rejected the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Men that were saved. Men that were washed in the blood of Christ. Men who had walked with the Lord. Men who had fellowship on a daily basis with the Lord. Men who had valued much from the teaching of Christ. And even watching the outworking of that teaching in precious souls being saved. Men who had saw Christ raising men from the dead, children from the dead. The blind made to see, the lame made to walk. The lepers made whole. Sick of the palsy fixed. Now they turned and abandoned Christ. Including the top three, Peter, James, and John. Three who had enjoyed greater privileges than the others. They had experienced and saw a greater glimpse of the glory or of the power of God. In the raising of Jairus' daughter, there was only three that saw it. They had experienced a greater revelation of Christ's glory in the Mount of Transfiguration. Those three had experienced and witnessed a greater understanding of Christ's suffering because he went, remember that little bit further with those men in the garden. He said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." Only three heard those words. Only three saw the Lord being sore amazed and very heavy. And yet they rejected the Lord and they fled from him. They fled from his presence. They fled from his word. Every one of them had said, "Lord, I'll stand with you." Matthew 26:35, they said, "Lord, we're not going to leave you. We're your followers. We love you, Lord. We're going. Wherever you go, we're going." But yet, Judas came with the mob and they left. They rejected their Savior. You know, even the heathen wondered where the disciples were. John 18:19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples. There's Christ standing in the midst of the high priest and all of the people. He says, "Where's your man? Where's your followers? Every time that we saw you, Lord, every time that we saw you, Jesus, everywhere you went, your disciples were with you. There were always men. There was always that crowd with you. There was those men that ever were with you, watching you, listening to you, learning from you. Lord, where are they?" What is it that causes a child of God to backslide? What is it that causes one who once walked close, but yet they didn't? They went to sleep. Their prayer life had disappeared and was now non-existent. That fellowship, that communion had ceased. No longer were they looking to the Lord. Child of God, how's your prayer life today? Be honest before God, how is your prayer life? When was the last time you were in that room? Bowed before the Lord. I'm thankful to God every single Sunday I go into that upper room for every child of God that's there. And I rejoice at the faithfulness of God's people, but I'll say this, there's always empty seats. There's always empty seats. There's always room for more. We take our eyes off the Lord. We stop praying. We're heading down. Another reason for backsliding can be the fear of man. John had saw the crowd who despised the Lord. John had woken out of that sleep, and there he was, confronted by men with torches, with staves, that great mob as it had come out of that area. And John, like the rest of them, he's filled with fear. He forgets in that moment how powerful, how strong, how mighty is the God that he's standing beside. And he looks at man and he fears it and he runs. Proverbs 29:25, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Too often today we're scared what outside says. We're scared with what outside thinks. We're not willing to take our stand. We're not willing to nail our colors to the mast. We're afraid, so we keep quiet. We're afraid, so we just hide away. Another reason for backsliding can be the love of the world. Just like Demas, maybe you struggle this morning to shake that allurement of the pleasures of this world off. You're like, yes, I like to be a Christian. I'm happy to be a Christian. I'm thankful to be saved. But I do enjoy the things I used to do. I do still get enjoyment out of those things, and I just can't leave them. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, it tells us, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Oh, he was a faithful follower of the Lord. He was one who was committed. He was one who gave his life. He said, "I'll serve. I'll help Paul. I'll be with Paul. Wherever Paul goes, whatever I can do, I'll do it." But yet, Paul has to write to Timothy and say, "Demas hath forsaken me." The one who once stood is now gone. Or maybe this morning, you're backslidden because you became offended by the gospel. You became offended by it. Just like the disciples, maybe you became ashamed to be labeled as a Christian. All of the attacks in the days that we live, the attacks on biblical Christianity, the attacks against the Bible itself, and the scoffing, the mockery that there is towards this book, the ridicules maybe just become too much. You just can't take the heat anymore, as it were. In your workplace, your school place, because people found out you were a Christian and it was just constant mockery, constant egging at you, as it were, constant abuse towards you about who you followed and who you believed in. You said, "Look, I can't do it anymore." So you've just said, "Look, I don't believe that anymore. I don't follow that anymore. I don't read my Bible anymore. I just got on with my life." Why? Because I want the quiet. Backslider in this meeting, what was it that caused you to leave the Lord? What was it? The world can't give you anything to a believer but misery. Understand that. A child of God who's experienced the joy of salvation in Christ will never find anything better outside. Never. These disciples, they fled from Christ. They left his side. Not one of them was happy about it. Not one of them had any peace. Not one of them had any joy. No, it got to the point, where were the disciples? They were locked in a room. They were afraid to step outside the door for what could happen. Backslider this morning, let me encourage you, don't reject Christ. Rather, return to him. That's what I want you to see in the second instance here in the verse 26. The return of the backslider. The return of the backslider. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. What a wonderful detail in the narrative of the whole cross. What a wonderful detail there in the narrative of all of the crucifixion, that in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of all of the anguish, in the midst of all of that mockery and the abuse, the vileness that was happening at that time, the darkness and the wickedness that was abounding in all sides, but yet there's a beautiful little ray of light. John's back. John's back. Yes, he had went to Caiaphas' house. He was the one, as we've looked at, who brought in Peter. But on that occasion, with all of the company in Caiaphas' house, he was only in the company. But here at the cross, he's right beside the cross. He's standing with the Lord. And the company's all around. They're mocking, they're reviling. They're throwing all of that abuse in the teeth of Christ. They're tearing up his garments. They're casting lots over his cloak. But John's standing right there saying, no, this is my Savior. I'm one of his. You know, it takes courage for a backslider to admit they're backsliding. There are Christians today and they're living in denial. But he's Christ in the public place. But now he's hanging on a tree. And yet John says, no, I'm not leaving him. I'm standing here confessing that man that you've nailed to a cross, that's my Savior. Backslider in this meeting, understand the place you must go is to the foot of the cross. Not to be saved again. I'm not saying you have to go afresh to the cross and you have to be saved all over again. That's not what is biblical. That is not fact. When you're saved for all eternity. But go afresh to the foot of the cross and see your Savior as he hangs in your behalf. Go afresh and look up as the blood is flowing out of his hands and the blood is flowing out of the feet. Go afresh to the cross as James did and see and hear the shame and the pain and the mockery that Christ has taken in your behalf. He endures it all for you. He sheds his precious blood for you. He receives the punishment that's due to you, he receives it for you. Backslider, maybe it was in the hour of a trial in your life you failed the Lord. Maybe out of nowhere there was a trial came upon you, upon your family, and you just cast off and you just fell apart in that moment and you said, I can't go on. And you just, everything came upon you, it overwhelmed you. You gave more thought to yourself instead of Christ. Maybe even in that moment you blamed Christ. You said, why is God doing this to me? Why is he allowing this to happen to me? Maybe you lost sight of the honor of his great name and the glory of his person. This morning, it doesn't matter how far you've wandered. Doesn't matter for how long you've been away from his side. There's a place at the foot of the cross for you to return to. There's a welcome and an invitation to return. To enjoy that sweet fellowship once again. Jeremiah 3:12. Return thy backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Joel 2 in the verse 12, it says, turn ye even unto me with all of your heart. In verse 13, for he is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness. John had ran, but John came back. He saw his Lord and his Savior afresh. That arrow of conviction had entered into his heart, into his conscience. Divine grace had melted John's heart. All of that fear had been taken away. All of that scare that was into his life and into his being at the time that had caused him to run. It's all gone. He comes afresh and he looks to his Savior. What was it brought him back? It was the Spirit of God. Oh, that the Spirit of God would melt your heart. The Spirit of God, if you're here this morning backslidden and even in denial, that the Spirit of God would waken you up. Would show you really where you stand before God and how cold actually you've grown. Well, the power of God would draw you back to Christ. Where alone you'll find that satisfaction, that peace, that joy. The return of the backslider. Then thirdly and finally, in verse 27, I want you to see the response to the backslider. The response. Verse 27. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You know, once again, there's evidence Christ is a Christ and a God of love and of mercy. Do you notice the words of verse 26? John, he says, and the disciples standing by whom he loved. This was the way that John always referred to himself in this gospel. Every time that he had him mention the different ones or who said what in the different narratives, he always put his own name down as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never wrote his name. And even after backsliding, John writes this book, this gospel, under the inspiration of the Spirit. He writes it after Christ has risen into glory. That means after John had backslid and after John had come back, and John then writes the words, the disciple whom Jesus loved, because even in the midst, and he looks back over his own life and he sees that time he came to Christ, he'll also see that time he ran from Christ, and he sees the time he comes back to Christ. And he still knows, I feel the Lord, yes, but Christ loves me. Even after the backsliding, one thing sure in his heart, the Lord still loves me. The Lord was still willing to die for me. That full, unconditional pardon and love was waiting for John, and that full, unconditional pardon and love is waiting for the backslider who returns today. Hosea 14 in the verses 4 to 7. It says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him, I will be as a dew unto Israel, he shall grow as a lily, cast forth his roots as Lebanon, his branches shall spread, the beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn, grow as a vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. What's the Lord saying to Hosea? What's the Lord saying to Israel? What's the Lord saying to us this day? Come back to me, the growth will then resume. The blessing, the dew will be given. All of that that is needed for you to grow in grace and the things of God, it's all there for you to take. Just return. Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Verse 22 of the same chapter, return, O backsliding children, I will heal your backsliding. Do you notice when Christ was on the cross and John was standing at his feet? Christ didn't rebuke him. He never turned round and went, why did you leave me? He didn't turn round and go, "You failed me. Go home on your own." No, His wondrous grace bestowed upon John an unspeakable privilege. You see, John returned and the Lord had a plan and purpose for his life. Both in the long term with all of the work of the apostles, and the preaching and the setting up of churches and the penning of scripture. But even in the immediate sense, there was a job, there was a role right there and then. And you may say, "Oh, it's only a little role." But it was a role given from the Lord specifically to John. "John, take home my mother. Take care of her." It was John who took her home. It was John who looked after her. It was John who would go to the tomb on the first day of the week, along with Peter. They would run to that tomb, and it was John who would see the empty tomb, and it was John who would understand what it meant. We'll get into that when we get to that point, the difference between Peter and John at the tomb. But it's John who looked in, and it's John who understood what it meant, and it's John who then went home and told Mary, "Mary, he's alive. The tomb's empty. The stone's rolled away. Death couldn't hold him." See, backslider, take encouragement this morning. The Lord will not hold your backsliding against you. The Lord longs to be in communion with His children. He longs to bestow all those blessings from above upon you. He longs to use you for His honor and for His glory. There's joy in His salvation. That's why David cries, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And we know how far David had fallen in adultery and even in the murder of Bathsheba's husband. But yet David cried unto the Lord, "Lord, look how far I've fallen. I have sinned so badly. But Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Don't stay in the world where there's nothing but misery. Backslider, this morning, come afresh to the cross. Come and see your Savior hanging in that middle tree. You know, when we don't read our Bibles and we don't pray and we don't attend the services and we don't hear the Word of God preached, we will grow cold. And we never open our Bibles or we never attend the meetings and we never pray, then we'll never have our eyes brought afresh to Christ. We'll never see the cross. But yet, it's at the cross where our love will grow and grow when we consider in faith what Christ has done for us. How He shed His precious blood and He endured everything upon that cross. He endured it for you, Christian. He endured it for you, backslider. Come afresh. See your Savior. There's a welcome waiting for you. The love and mercies never ceased. Even as that young lady said to Robert Robison, "The streams of mercy are ever flowing. Therefore return." Will you this morning? Will you come afresh to Christ? Backslider, come and see your Savior as He hangs for you. Let's have a moment's prayer.